I'm your average action movie survivor. When I'm not busy trying to avoid massive superhero battles with people getting thrown through walls or dodging giant robots about to step on me, I'm listening to the Part-Time Fanboy podcast. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also, be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Do it now, because the Robopocalypse is coming!
What's going on?
Hey, who do I have on the line?
This is Justin, and Zach is right here too. So
awesome. Well, thank you. And my name's Christian, obviously Christian Horn, and thanks for coming on Part-Time Fanboy.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us, definitely.
I appreciate you guys, taking the time. I love your book. Basically, we've got let me get your full names here. I'm actually looking at the book right now. I've got Justin Piatt?
Pyatt
and Zachary Dolan, the co-creators of Super, with an exclamation point, right?
Yep.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Well, I reviewed your book for the site. I kind of got like an email out of the blue. I forget exactly who I got it from. But when I reviewed it, I guess I might have been a little bit mistaken as far as like what the exact concept was, because I thought it was a book about supervillains, but it's not. It's actually kind of like superheroes and supervillains, right?
Yeah, it's all sides of the insane superhero spectrum. Like, you see it from a lot of different perspectives. Just with those huge worlds where there's literally hundreds of superhumans all over the place. So we're gonna actually see it through many of their eyes. It's not just one focal character.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of stuff going on in this book. I mean, I purchased the hardcover at Comic-Con, and honestly, you guys did a really great job with this. This is a quality book.
Thank you.
Awesome.
You're very welcome. I mean, I was just very impressed with, because when you get a digital copy, like, that's one thing, but having it in your hands and seeing like what care you guys took in putting the book together. I mean, I got to say again, impressive.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah. A lot went into that. We had a Kickstarter for the production costs for the, not the production costs, the printing costs for it. So we actually had those in advance for San Diego, a couple for that show, pretty much with the idea to get our book into the hands of some of the bigger publishers.
Sure.
But in a few, I can talk about that if you want later, but in a few months, probably those will go on sale on October 1st, we're hoping.
Oh, really?
So those aren't available to the public yet. That was just for San Diego.
Yeah, and just...
Sorry.
No, just to let people know, I mean, right now you can get the individual issues on Comixology, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the place where you can find it right now.
Yeah, right now you can get us on Comixology, and it would be probably around October when we'll get the hardcovers in. And yeah, we're out of single issues, so it's just Comixology right now.
Oh, wow. So you guys did print up individual single issues?
Yeah, we had in single issues for issues 1, 2, and 3. Uh-huh. Those went through Diamond. And then we were a little late with issue 4, and Diamond pulled our purchase orders.
Ooh.
Which is because we were late. Uh-huh. But we used that to, without soliciting through Diamond and going through comic stores, we really just had to call a timeout on printing. And we had the Kickstarter for the trade, so it was the decision to print single issues for 4 and 5 or go with the trades, which
Oh.
promised. So it was just a no-brainer. We just went trades only. We do want to go back to print single issues. There's a lot of demand for it.
Oh, really?
We got some emails for from fans and comments back on our Facebook, people asking for it. But that's something we were hoping to team up with an actual publisher to do,
Gotcha.
possibly a re-release and in single issues. The
Gotcha.
demand seems to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. Like I said, I mean, I think I said in my review, several weeks ago, I mean, it's definitely one of the better looking, indie, like superhero books that I've seen. I mean, I have to say, Zach, like your pencil work, like the illustration and the panel layout, I mean, everything is extremely professional. Like, I guess I'm curious, like, where did you train? Like, how did you, what did you go to art school? Like, what was your artistic development, I guess I should say?
I have been practicing since I was about 3.
Nice.
So I've got over 25 years of just doing it every day, pretty
Yeah.
much. And I mean, I'm mostly like, I wouldn't say I'm professionally trained. I mean, I did go to an art school in Arizona, but I mean, I had already picked up a lot of that stuff. Just here and there, and I had a really good teacher in high school that forced me to just keep expanding my horizons. So I just I've been just keep practicing. That's really the simple answer of like out there.
That's
Yeah,
great.
seriously, in high school, we went to high school together, and
Wow.
everyone who went to Lancaster High School in our same grade, class of 2000. Would know that Zach was, always drawing and was awesome then. So when we hooked up a few years later, I guess after college, everyone in our school would just assume that Zach was going to go on to do comics and it was going to go on to these bigger projects. And we hooked up, and he hadn't had wasn't known by some of these companies. And I'm like, well, let's do something.
Yeah. Well, I guess that sort of answers what was kind of going to be my next question. I mean, you guys met in high school? That's how you met? You were friends in high school?
Yeah, we were friends with a lot of the same people, and we had some classes together, but we didn't like hang out a lot. We didn't do, it was just probably a good thing too. I was really annoying in high school. We were
Okay, if you say so, I'm gonna take your word for that.
as many of my friends who've been friends with me with that long, I was a nutcase then. But
You're better
we
now, though.
yeah, I hope so. Zach's over here like, yeah, don't make any promises.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we knew each other, and we just didn't really work on any projects together. I was in a lot of like bands, in and out of bands, promoting that. And that's kind of where I got roots with like taking a product and trying to pitch it and market it a little bit. Which is something I just took our product, took Super, and just tried to run with it, which is why, I don't know, we for only a couple of people, I feel like we've been able to, engage fans and reviewers, and those guys have taken this product and just freaking run with it.
Oh, that's great. So you guys weren't really close in high school, and then you said, like, what, you hooked up after college? How did that happen?
We pretty much just walked into a McDonald's at the same time. Is how it is. We both walked in there and bumped into each other and had the "Hey, what are you up to these days?" conversation. And I don't even know. It was just like a lark. Like he was just like, "So you're an artist still?" He's like, "I got some ideas, and we just, started working on it from there as kind of like a after regular work hours kind of hobby thing.
Sure.
And it just ballooned out of control to completely dominate our lives.
Well, so let me ask you this. I mean, because like as a bit of an artist myself, when somebody approaches you and they're like, I have an idea, like in the back of your head, were you just like eye roll, like, oh Jesus, like, oh come on? Or were you honestly like interested in working with him?
Well, I never take it if it sounds awful, honestly. Like,
gotcha.
I'm one of those people that I would rather not have the money than work on something that just seems abysmal.
Sure.
And sign my name to it. So I mean, yeah, I definitely thought there was something there. It actually was a completely different thing than what we ended up working on.
Yeah, we were working on it for maybe like half a year. And then we saw some of I saw a notebook which had a lot of the characters designed from Super already.
Uh-huh.
Maybe like between like 60 and 80, a decent
amount.
Yeah,
I just had filled a sketchbook with the designs because I'd had the idea for Super since like roughly like 2001.
Uh-huh.
And I'd been kind of like just playing around with it. And he looked at it and he's like, well, why the hell didn't you ever do anything with this?
Yeah, it was so much better than my idea.
Like, what was the initial idea? Can you talk about that? Or
yeah, I mean, it was the opposite of Super. It had very very powered down world, and all
very
the
serious too. It was much like everything about it. Like, we had realized at some point that like we don't want to make comics that are like every other comic with the super serious realistic heroes who wear leather jackets and don't wear costumes.
Nice.
But in dark, you know. Well, it was pretty
I didn't want capes, and we had like a huge, you know, like,
yeah,
no,
I was
no
fighting
capes.
For the costumes. Like, no, they have to wear costumes. And he's just like, no.
You know, but I mean, I really cool, like, unique uses of powers and like very mild, you know, only a few characters would get their powers throughout the series. But yeah, we flipped through the book with some of the super characters, and you could just remember them. The streak was a great example. We'd show people maybe my project, and then we'd show people, you know, some of the stuff for Super when it was about at the same, you know, point of development, and no one remembered anything but like the streak, you know, super speed, but he's got to be naked.
Nice.
And people latched onto that, and I was like, okay, well, I know I made this, and I know this is why we started working, but this other idea, this super, is my, that 10 out of 10 project that you know, I believed in to the point where I'm like, okay, I'll take the, you know, whatever ego hit, you know,
yeah.
I don't have to be the master creator.
Wow, that says a lot, because there's a lot of people whose egos wouldn't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that you would be able to sit there and be like, okay, this is better. I mean, that says a lot to, I don't know, like your character, I think.
Well, I mean, it's super. Well, thank you for one. But I think, I mean, Super as what it was even then was just like I saw it and I'm like, man, people need to see this.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the scale and the scope of this universe, as it is, if we can keep moving with it, as people can see how deep the rabbit hole goes, it's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
And I was the first to see it, and I was like, okay, I'm on board. What do we need to do? And we kind of just started outworking each other.
Uh-huh.
You know, Zach would say, okay, I need this. I need, you know, a page on such and such. And I would come out with a page. And then, you know, we started the back and forth. So I started with like, okay, maybe an hour, once a week, started like an hour twice a week, and then 5 hours, you know,
yeah,
became a, you know, our job.
Gotcha. So at what point, like, I guess, what is the initial concept? Because I mean, if you say like, superheroes to people, they just think, okay, you know, Marvel, DC, done. You know what I'm saying? What was sort of the initial concept that you saw in the sketchbook that you were so attracted to? And then, like, where did you go from there? Like, how different was it from what you guys have ended up with?
Well, there's a couple questions in there.
Yeah.
As far as how different it is from what we ended up with, there was a whole bunch of characters, like maybe 50 or 60 characters, fully designed, sketched out, and Zach had a really good idea of what the story was for these characters. whole arcs, things that are going to be like the end game of Super, were already fleshed out, a lot of it. Some things, like the cliff at the end of issue one wasn't there. That dynamic wasn't
Yeah,
set.
that whole first issue was completely different.
Oh, really?
And we've created other whole other characters and whole other character arcs since I came on board. And I was really like kind of like outlining, like I took what he had and was like, okay, where's your story start? Because it was such a big thing in scope. I mean, it was hard to wrap our Zach's head around too. We're trying to figure out, okay, what do we do with this? Where's the story here? What do we want to say? What do we have to get in? And it's kind of why we're going to do the web comic, which eventually is because we have way more than we need for
It's literally bursting at the seams of supplementary jokes that we're just like, okay, we want to use this somewhere, but there's literally no pages left.
Okay.
And you had asked
Wow.
about what I saw like initially just flipping through that warranted me saying, okay, this is way better than my idea.
Gotcha.
And warranted, it attracted me to the project.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's a few things. Like there's been the promise of like the world where superheroes are all over the place and using their powers before. But a lot of those worlds, a lot of those comic superhero universes don't make sense. I didn't when we hooked up, well, like after college, it was an idea that would have been cool as a comic, but I was coming from, I'd read a, I'd read some manga. I didn't, I read the black and white funnies, but I didn't read superhero comics, and I hadn't in a long, long time.
Oh, really?
And Zach did. Zach stayed up on it, but I didn't. I was like, these suck. I
Okay.
can't. I shouldn't need a master's degree to know what's going on in the X-Men. Like it didn't make a lot of. There was no continuity.
Sure. Or at least it didn't make sense to you, having not read like for
Yeah,
years and years and
but like
years.
it wasn't just a lack of jumping on points. It was, a lot of companies getting their own characters wrong. And I doing things for the sake of like a twit. Like I just did. I was telling Zach, I'm like, why would you care about comics? And he's like, well, they can be good and they can make sense, and we just have to do it. They're not doing it right. And this, it's really what. And when you read Super, we are doing it. It's happening. A world as populated as the Marvel and DC universe, but so much, but it makes sense and it's so much fun that people.
Think of it as like Astro City meets the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh,
Okay.
like
That's what I was just going to ask. Like, what's the pitch? Like, what's
That's
your
the
log
pitch.
line?
Basically, in a world that is every bit as populated with superhuman characters as Marvel or DC's or whatever, but it's all in one book
Sure.
instead of, 100 mediocre books about one character. It's one book that covers this entire universe. And the idea is that there are so many super beings, that you have guys that are like your Justice League and Avengers level guys, and then way down at the bottom, you have our heroes who are like the D-est of the D-list,
Sure.
that are and their story is, struggling to prove to, everyone else and themselves that they don't suck, and that they can be good and stand out in this crowd. With a lot of hilarious failures along the way, of course.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that it very much reminded me of, and again, I said this, in my review, I mean, the thing that it very much reminded me was the old, like, sort of Justice League Unlimited from the 80s. I mean, there was sort of a feel of that, but not mimicking it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to give you guys the short shrift.
That was definitely kind of one of the inspirations, was that 80s feel of, like, yeah, we're having fun doing this. It's not all super grim and with these Byzantine plots that like involve four crossover books that literally don't matter at the end of the year. Like it was it, like I realized, I literally said today, that, you know, I realized that the X-Men are so popular even now, despite how confusing and angsty it is, because people are like, man, it was really, really good in the 80s. It was really fun in the 80s, you know? And that's the picture I think people keep in their head, you know, of what it was like. And that's what we're trying to capture.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are a lot of people like, I mean, I don't know how old you guys are. You said you graduated, what, 2000? I think I graduated like 10 years earlier than you. So I might be 10 years older than you, probably, unless Doogie Howser, whatever. But I guess my whole thing is like, yeah, I totally understand that whole like things were better in the 80s. And I don't know if that's correct for like every generation afterwards. I'm wondering if there's some kid somewhere who was like, oh, things were so great in the 90s. The Clone Saga, that was like the greatest thing ever.
I think there are definitely people that are like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, which it wasn't.
Carnage is the greatest thing ever created by human beings.
The 90s is what broke me from comics. 90s is when was young and wanted to get into comics, and it was when Jim Lee rebooted X-Men.
Yeah,
probably one of the first comics I got, and I was buying, trying to get to the store to buy X-Men for his that early run. They had the cartoon, they had that cool video game. I had all the playing cards, the like trading cards. I should have been hooked in by that series, but they went to a crossover very early, the Executioner song, and I couldn't buy like 20 books.
Yeah,
I was young, and I just couldn't follow it, and then, you know, it just got progressively harder to be a fan of a comic.
Sure.
And I've said it before, if your Spider-Man had one comic every month or every, you know, so often, and it was awesome and consistently the best book, people would love it because people love that character.
Yeah.
But they have like eight.
Yeah. It's hard to keep track. I mean, I definitely am someone who I don't read individual issues anymore. I'm very much like what I call like a trade paperback warrior. I just like literally will just read trades at this point. And that thing has enabled me to discover like a whole new universe of like other indie or even just read the stuff from the big two that I really want to read. Cause I don't know about you guys, but when I was reading dailies, it was very much a like, I'm only picking this up because I feel like I have to pick this up. Yes. You know, it was like an addiction.
That's something that it's, you know, one of the things we're directly against. Yes. It's like, no, you are buying this book and you get everything, literally everything and more than you wanted. You know, instead of the attitude of, well, you bought this Batman book because you want to know what's happening in Batman, but you kind of also have to get Harley Quinn and Nightwing and Robin.
Yeah.
The Joker 4-issue miniseries that literally doesn't tie in anything. You know?
Yeah. Could you guys talk to me a little bit about, like, where sort of, A, the humor element comes from, and then, I mean, like, what sparked that idea beyond, like, say, Justice League Unlimited? And also, what made you guys want to make it sort of, like, more adult-oriented? Because there's a couple of cuss words in there, you know?
Yes, there are a few potty mouth characters.
Which is fine with me, but it's not, like, a book that I could hand to my 7-year-old and be like, read this.
We chose the humor because that just seemed really natural, first of all. Like,
especially with the characters.
Yeah, I mean, it just, like, why would it not be fun was literally something we put in one of the books, and somebody pointed out that was like, that's what made me know I was going to like this. And it was like, well, yeah, why would we ever make it any less fun than it could be?
Yeah.
The superhero in and of itself is a pretty funny concept. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't go out and fight crime and answer to a goofy nickname with your underpants outside of your regular pants and be like, I am super serious about this.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really hard to do that. Like, Batman has trouble doing that.
Yeah.
You know, so like, it just seemed really natural to go with the funny element. You know, and I just think that, like, how many things have you ever read or watched or whatever that you remember that you thoroughly enjoyed that you never laughed one time?
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing that really sticks out. And when I got that fifth issue and I started reading it, at first I was like, huh, what's different about this? And it just started, I was like, wait a minute, this is funny. Like, this is, like, interesting. And not only because, and literally I was at a car wash, like, reading it on my phone at first, you know, and when I got the electronic copy, and I was, like, sitting there, like, going, okay, my first impression was, like, I opened it up, and I was like, okay, here we go. And then I looked at it, and I was like, wait, okay, art is really freaking good. That's the first thing. Let's keep going. And then I started kept reading it, and I was like, wait, yeah, this is funny. And it's not like funny like you're making jokes funny. It's like taking, I guess, like, there's, you know, there's a rule in comedy for a certain type of comedy where it's like the more serious you take something, sometimes the funnier it kind of becomes to everyone else, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, if you play, yeah, it straight,
Nelson, straight face.
Yeah.
Kind of style. Yeah, we're big fans, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And that was sort of the thing, is like, especially with, what's his name? Say like Black Adam. Like, there's who is a supervillain in the super universe who takes himself like very seriously.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the gang that he's teamed up with are a bunch of, like, you know, for lack of a better term, losers. And he's like trying to wrangle them all. Like, that's just perfect right there. I mean, anybody can identify with that.
Yeah, yeah, he's the beleaguered parent
of, yeah,
the supervillain team.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess, you know, what I'm sort of curious about is, so you've got the idea and you start getting moving forward. Like, what sort of challenges were you facing, like, into production, like, just getting it moving? Like, how did you sort of, you know, figure out your path to get it, you know, in people's hands or on Comixology?
Some of the bigger problems that actually we still have would be probably financially, like actually move, you know, every page goes through Zach, but then, after issue one, each page goes through more than just Zach and Eve's hands. Zach pencils a page and then, Lori Foster inks it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure Tara has, Tara Capel, our assistant, art assistant, has touched it a few times in between now and then. So it gets to Lori, then it gets to Eve to color it. And for four and a half out of five issues, we just paid that ourselves, for both of those artists.
Yeah.
So it's always been a big question of, we know we have a strong product, but how do we figure out, like, how do we, you know, with numbers, make this a real thing?
Sure.
We reached out to Kickstarter a few times, one for the colors of issue one, because everything besides the colors, Zach did himself for that issue.
Yeah.
But we needed the colors just to finish it up, and we were so convinced that we weren't going to publish it ourselves, that it's not even funny.
Oh, really? So you didn't start out wanting to publish it yourselves, or
no,
you did?
No, we kind of still don't want to publish ourselves. We
That is the craziest thing. I've never heard that before, where people are like self-publishing and they're like, I actually want somebody else to publish this.
Yeah, I mean, if we could, I mean, we're the both writers for the project are the ones who are like the publishers too. So that's a very, you know, small operation.
And the penciler and the letterer. You know, like 50 other jobs that we do.
Yeah.
Like, literally six people, and we divide the entire company's duties between us.
And, yeah.
How do you do that? Like, it sounds like insanity.
It kind of is. We don't...
Effort and patience.
But, you know, that was part of why we went to San Diego. Why, you know, like, we're from Atlantic City, so that was
Jersey.
Far hike for us, but... I mean, even at some of those panels, I went with those books. I managed to give a hardcover to Boom Studios,
uh-huh.
Because they have closed submissions, but I could hand them a book.
Sure.
We gave one to Darby Pop, which is an imprint of IDW, and we're really excited about that. That's Jeff Klein Studio.
Uh-huh.
I handed one to Robert Kirkman. So it was
nice.
Like my mission there from Skybound and from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mission there for San Diego was just to make sure that some of these guys have physically seen it, because we've just been writing letters. We'll do it because there's no other options. But for one reason or another, maybe because we're superheroes or because we curse, I have no idea. So a lot of them haven't even responded. We've never heard anything back from Image ever.
Then we
That
got
sounds crazy.
lost.
And we keep writing them, sending them issues and sending them emails and stuff.
Because to me, this seems like right up Image's alley, you know?
Well, that's what we thought too.
Like early on, we were really gunning for Image and or Dark Horse. And there was a lot of discussion in here, like which one would take us. And we really thought we had a, you know, we do have a product that would fit in amongst their best products. You know, like we've, you know, I started sending them reviews of side by side reviews of like our stuff up on the top in theirs, and I was like, hey, where's your book? Towards the end,
Oh
like,
boy. Yeah.
but you know, kind of like playfully and trying to do that in polite ways. But yeah, ideally. And we're not like cursing that it's never going to happen. You know, they might have legitimately not seen our book, or not looked through it. So if it allowed us to move forward with telling Super, like we would jump at the chance to allow more people to see it. Yeah, definitely.
Sure. And I mean, you kind of mentioned the language. I mean, and that's something that I kind of asked about earlier. Like, why sort of go with that? I mean, do you think that that's hindering you at all and like cutting off any of your audience or?
It's weird. I wrestled for a really long time of the idea of doing, you know, having something that was all ages or something that was the mature readers. And the real thing that was just like, no, there's no going back now, really was The Streak. And The Streak was one of those guys that it was everybody loved him, and everyone remembered him if they remembered nothing else when we told them about it. And it was like, look, you're never going to get a G rating with a guy who literally rips his clothes off to use a superpower. So let's just go for broke, you know, and just treat it like, you know, like I said, like the Venture Brothers with that kind of like really raunchy but loving parody, like, you know, because.
I can't imagine Blitz or the Fire Ant being G-rated. Like I'm
Well,
sure,
some of them could get away with it, you know, but like
Fire Ant definitely
it's
not.
just never gonna be a G-rated Blood Death. That's not gonna happen.
No, I mean, oh my God, that character's hysterical, by the way.
Thank you.
He is hysterical, the way
Thank
he
you.
talks and you know, he calls himself Blood Death and he's got an American flag. I mean, come on, it's just hysterical.
Well, he is literally every like Liefeldian 90s like pouch belt, shoulder pads that are couldn't move his arms and make no sense, like in the chinderwear. Like I thought that was very important. Like I don't know if you remember, like every character Rob Liefeld created after a certain point had this weird stuff on his head, like this weird headgear and earmuffs and like goofy little things sticking off the top, and I'm like, he's gotta have those. Like, you know, it's like he's not talking to anybody on that thing. He's insane. You know, but he has it, you know, and it just he also he's got like a little Judge Dredd in there, you know. But it's just he is a walking, talking personification of the 90s.
I mean, well, the whole thing is like I'm flipping through the book right now. I've got it in my lap. And it's well, first of all, thanks for the print because I can do that, flip it and look at it in my lap. But the thing is like the thing that I was very impressed with when I started reading through the collection is how dense it is, like how dense each panel is, how much text there is. Like I'm actually reading a comic book. Like I'm sitting here and I'm reading. Like I feel like so many books today, there's a lot of like, you know, show, don't tell, or there's not enough dialogue. Like, I don't feel like I'm reading books. I feel like I'm kind of flipping through pictures a
Yeah,
lot of the time.
exactly. That's another thing we specifically chose, you know, again, modeling after the older comics where it was like, I got this comic book and I feel like I got something for what I paid. I got this story that I read and I enjoyed, as opposed to like, well, I got all 15 parts of Civil War. I ran 20 minutes, and they were all two-page spreads of Captain America going, ah! So it's like I literally was done each issue in under 2 minutes. So like, we were actively like, no, we want to make a comic that is not like that.
We get a lot of negative criticism about that.
We
Really?
do occasionally,
People
believe it
are
or
like,
not.
there's too much story.
Yeah, there are
What?
too many words in your
Too
comic.
many words.
There's too much story in your story.
That's
Right?
insane. Because the thing that I'm impressed with the most is honestly is how much reading there is in it, and none of it is like, sort of, I mean, that's the thing with like 80s and 70s comics that you run across is like it's a read, but a lot of it is like repetitive, where it's like, oh, they're talking about the last issue. Aunt May went to the hospital and now she's sick, and now how am I going to afford the medicine? And all
High
that happened,
intensity
like
padding.
they're,
Yeah.
what's that?
High intensity padding, I call that.
Yeah, definitely. And there's none of that like in here. What's interesting is there's no padding and there's lots of story, and you know where you're going with it. Like everything is self-explanatory, at least to me, who's been a fan of superheroes for a long time. Have you handed this over to someone who isn't a fan of superheroes or hasn't read comic books? Have you got any
We've
feedback
actually
from
been
them?
told several times that I've never read a comic before, but I read yours and I
Oh,
love
wow.
it. So we have actually managed to
Yeah.
pull that off. We've confirmed some people.
I think as a company, especially if we intend to stay publishing ourselves, I know like what, if you have, regardless of Diamond's numbers, like Diamond numbers, if you get 200,000 sales in a of a book, you're the number one book, and if you have, a few thousand, you're on the list. I mean, there's a lot more people than that in this country, and I feel like a lot of people would respond well with Super. Like we do really well with people who've never read comics. We set up at like horror conventions, and I
Oh,
think like it's
nice.
going to be important to us to reach out. As many as those 200,000 people buy books, every month at comic book stores, there's a whole lot more that don't buy anymore because of what happened with what Marvel and DC have been doing. I was one of them. I said no more. It went too far. And I feel like, I mean, I feel like I've been insulted by some of these countries before. Like they not countries, companies.
Okay.
That they
I
that
was
they
like, we just went off into a whole other. Are we
Oh,
talking
not that
politics
kind.
now?
I was
No.
confused too.
Well,
What?
like I feel like these you have to have double think and turn your brain off to enjoy a lot of these comics, especially with superheroes.
Well, that goes back to the thing you were saying about the comparison to the 80s comics is that we, you probably noticed that each issue, while it continues the overarching story, has a start and end to itself, so that you could literally get any random one, which you did. You jumped on an issue five, and you knew what was going on. And we go really far out of our way to make people feel like, oh, I can just grab this and then want to find out what happened before, as opposed to, oh man, I don't know if I want to get this because I got to get 30 other things to even possibly understand this. It's just like you've got this issue, and if you like it, you like it, and it's you can enjoy it by itself, which is really kind of hard with modern comics.
I have a quick personal question. The Iron Cross. Have you in the fifth issue, have you ever seen something called Giant Robo?
Oh yes, yeah.
Okay, good, because I thought I was going crazy.
No, yeah, I'm a huge Giant Robo fan.
Oh, me too.
The
Oh,
design
man.
aesthetic there, yeah, that's not a coincidence.
No, it's great. I loved it because
Yeah.
I laid eyes on it and I was like, wait a minute, wait, and I was like, this is great. And that's the thing with a lot of these heroes, I mean, they are, I don't want to say like stand-ins for like templates and stuff like that, but they're recognizable,
Yeah,
what I'm
there is
saying?
an obvious analogy. Like, that's why a lot of them work, because you look at a guy and you go, oh, okay, I get it. They're that guy. And when he does what he does, you realize, oh, that's what they're making fun of right away. Like, the parody is very clear But also we get a lot of compliments that it's like, yeah, I get that that is that character and you're making fun of it, but you're also making your own character too. Like, it's not so much of a spoof that it's not its own superhero comic anymore.
Sure, sure.
Christian, we're 5 issues into Super. Do you have a favorite character at this point?
Well, you know, I like this, the Fire Ant dude. He's totally awesome. I mean, he's basically like Spider-Man, but with like a filthy mouth and a gun. To me, anyway, I mean, that's what I got, like, in the... Well, first of all, the whole 5th issue thing, where he has to take on the bad guys by himself, and he's calling in for backup, and everyone's like, sorry, I got other shit to do. Like, that was just hysterical. Like, and just, you know, I just think the design of... Like, I think Fire Ant, like, when... Because I was exposed to him before... you know, a lot of the others in the 5th issue.
Yeah.
I just really like the design of his outfit. It looks like a really cool, like, sort of Ant-Man, Spider-Man, you know, hybrid. And that's the thing that I've just been, again, sort of the Iron Cross and like all this stuff. Like, your work, your design is like really intense. I mean, it's really beautiful. Like, the thought that goes into, you know, a lot of these characters, you know, and there's so much that you can look at on a page and just get lost in it, you know?
Thank you.
No, I mean, seriously, that I, you know, like, again, I mentioned, like, I'm a bit of a cartoonist myself, but I'm not like this, you know what I'm saying? Like this is impressive. And for somebody to just not even look at the visual aesthetics of this book and not be impressed, like, that's beyond me, you know?
Well, again, thanks. You crushed me under the weight.
Sorry, maybe I just went a little too fanboy on you guys. I mean, he's part-time fanboy. So.
You had asked.
Oh, gush away, by all means.
you had asked why I was willing to, like, just drop almost everything and just say, okay, I'm working on Super. We're doing it for free. We're making it work. We're going to put our time and our money and everything, you know, into this project, and it's because I've, you know, you've seen 5 issues of it.
Yeah,
I've seen it all.
Wow,
it gets better. Like,
well,
this,
when you say all, is there an ending?
Yeah, I know the end, and it's gonna be awesome. We're gonna nail the ending of a superhero story that literally has not happened.
Wow, so there's a finite ending to this.
Yes, there will be a finite ending. It won't be super short or anything. Like, it does have a decent run.
It would be around issue 50.
Like, think like
Preacher, oh wow,
you know, like the way that Preacher was it was still a limited series, but it ran for quite a while.
Gotcha.
But we know exactly how it's going to end. Like, we were determined before we ever actually set work. So, like, we are now actually physically producing issue 1. We needed to know how it ended because we feel like so many people come out of the gate running with a great concept and they have no idea where they're going with it. And then they spin their wheels until either they get canceled or they just throw something in there because they got to do it.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make sure that, like, no, if people were going to invest in this, they were going to be satisfied by what happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good.
Can you talk a little bit, just a bit about the ambitiousness of that? Because it seems like that's really ambitious.
Just a bit. Yes.
Yeah, it is. And that's probably honestly why we're publishing ourselves. Because asking, your Dark Horse, to publish a 4-issue thing versus something on the size and scope of Super is very, very different. And I understand why they would, you know, quite reasonably be afraid of such a big project.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted them to read it because once you read it, once you get exposed to it or see what I've seen, you know, like everything Marvel and DC can do, we can do, and we're going to do better because we're going to have a better comic.
Yeah,
like, they're enjoying awesome, you know, movies and cartoons and stuff now, but where, you know, they've lost the core of what they do.
Uh-huh.
They really did. You know, they grew too big and there's too much going on. You know, like we're gonna get there, you know.
Gotcha. And what's your process of working together? Like, how does that, like Is there a process? I mean, like, how do you guys bounce stuff off each other?
Well, we spent a lot of time in a office, just, you know, running through, you know, the changing the script, and while I'm drawing and he's lettering or typing stuff up or doing whatever, we're constantly going back and forth about, you know, everything, and it's totally random. Like, at some point, something for like issue 18 will just randomly pop out. Like, man, I think we should change that, and then we'll like have a whole tangent about that thing that's not going to come up for literally ages.
Yesterday we had a fight about something, and I'm like, dude, we're not going to get there for like a year and a half at best. But you know, it's weird. Like we'll open up the script for the particular issue we'll be doing, and then just, you know, kind of map it out. Like, okay, here's, you know, for example, issue two, we'd be like, okay, well, we've got this amount of pages for the Baron Blizzard fight. Then we know what's going to happen next. You know, an ending at such and such. So we'll map out, like, from the script. We'll give Zach an idea of his pages. He'll kind of do a little doodle of the page, and as soon as he does a little doodle of what the page is going to look like, I start lettering it like immediately.
Oh, really?
What we have from the script. Uh-huh. And so hopefully if something falls really flat, which has happened a lot,
you know, really early, you know,
to, okay. Yeah, we fix it pretty much from the time he does a doodle of the page to like the second before it goes out, like we're fixing it and working on the lines and the dialogue to make sure it doesn't, you know.
Yeah, that really does happen a lot. Like, and I'm sure it happens to a lot of people when they're writing right before deadline. There's always the mad sweep of, well, let's read it again and decide what we don't like and need to tweak and change. So we all panic trying to get it in. You know, like there's always those like, no, it can be better. That could be funnier.
Do you guys have like a test audience, like somebody that you hand stuff off to like, is this working? Does this work?
Yeah, a couple of people that we will share the early versions with.
Lori and your brother, our inker Lori Foster, who by the way is a tremendous inker, and she does, you know, cosplay modeling as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was at your booth.
Yeah.
Dressed up as one of your characters.
Yeah.
There's two of the characters, actually. She was,
oh, I only saw her as one, but I was only there
for most of the time, but she was also the mime for one day.
I saw her as the mime. I didn't see her as Blitz. She was dressed up as Blitz, really?
Yeah, the Blitz one is even better.
Oh, wow. No, I missed that.
The costume's in the back of the trade. There's like a picture.
Yeah,
of,
I saw that. But
yeah,
I mean,
she had that same costume and was walking around and had like the wig and everything.
Oh, that's great.
But she'll look it over. Hall's, you know, small, maybe like four or five people will look it over. And it's weird because they'll look it over and then we'll change something when we look it over. So then we'll like give them the next draft and it'll be like completely different from what they just saw.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Be like, oh, wow.
Like, they'll suggest like typo error changes and we'll come back and be like, all right, how about this? And like 10 lines are completely different now. Like, no, it's way funnier this way.
Gotcha.
And usually the last one to write is Blood Death.
Oh, really?
Almost always, because, you know, like we'll write something in for Blood Death, and then it won't be insane enough. For...
yeah, that's happened a lot too. It's like, man, that's just not crazy enough. That needs to be more insane.
The shitty shoes line in issue one was probably,
yeah, that's
probably, the very last line in that. After messing with that issue for almost like 2 years from start to finish.
Oh, really?
Because Zach did the pencils and then the inks.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't 2 years. It was about a year, but it was a long time. It was a long time.
Well, how long does it take you? I mean, besides the first issue, how long does it take you to get an issue together?
If we're full speed, meaning if money's not an issue, which is a different conversation. We're probably quarterly.
Nice.
It would take like a good 2-3 months. Zach, our issues are a lot bigger than standard comic issues. So an issue of Super, actually it's changed.
True.
But we're like in 27. The last two issues were 27 and worked very well. So I think we're gonna stick there.
Well, and also we work regular jobs outside
sure.
of this. So, like, if we were literally only doing Super all day and that was their only responsibility, we could maintain a monthly schedule. But as it is, there's no way.
Yeah, everyone, that, even Laurie and Eve work.
You know, like, we maybe we could do bi-monthly.
Uh-huh.
But with our current schedules and our current funds, it's most likely quarterly built just to keep
yeah.
from, you know, going insane trying to finish it.
Oh no, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, yeah, everything is, I mean, visually everything is magnificent about the book. I mean, I just, the colors and, you know, the art and everything, it's again, impressed. So we've just spent a little bit of time kind of bashing other companies' creations, but you know, no, but just to kind of wrap it up. No, I mean, I understand. I agree with a lot of your points, but kind of to wrap it up a little bit, like, what are you guys into? What do the creators of Super, like, what are you reading is, or are you reading comics?
Zach?
Well, right now, I don't have a lot of time to read much of anything, because
that's the curse.
Busy doing this all the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was always a huge fan of, like, Hellboy. Pretty much anything Mike Mignola does, I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
You know, like, I haven't been getting, like, monthly Marvel and DC books for quite a while. I usually, like, will, my brothers obsessively collect.
So oh, really?
I can sort of, like, if I want to dip in and find out what's going on, I have ready access from them, but I don't actually go out and get them myself most of the time. But, I mean, if you're asking, like, influences, it's literally all over the place. Like, you
know, gotcha.
Days and days.
This is Justin here.
I got you.
Huge into One Piece, the manga. Like, so every week I'm
oh, really?
Trying to, oh, absolutely huge into it. I think there's already been, like, little background One Piece things. One in Super. There's so much going on in the background I can't even talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Already. But huge into One Piece. Every once in a while I'll just go in and get a new book to see what's going on. We were at the airport at San Diego and with Brian Glass from Mice Templar.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And the book Furious, and he showed us what is now out, but I don't think it was out at the time, Mice Templar number 12.
Uh-huh.
And was it 12 or like 88?
Well,
I don't know. The newest issue.
Uh-huh. That's a big jump, 12 or 88.
Jump from 12 and 88.
Yeah.
He does several different miniseries. And
yeah.
Legends. And,
okay. Is it 12? Am I crazy?
I don't think it's 12 either.
Okay. But I was very impressed by the latest issue of that. Very impressed. I picked up on Umbrella Academy.
On
a whim and really, really enjoyed that. Kind of hope he gets back to it, to be honest.
Me too.
And it was very, like Super. Like that didn't seem like it took itself too seriously. It seemed very fun.
Yeah.
And it didn't, like, just stop and give me a lot of backstory. Like, they were there using their powers very quickly.
Yeah, from the beginning.
I'd like to go back and read Astro City. Can you believe we were working on Super for, like, a year before I knew about... Zach knew about it and passed me Astro City, and it just blew my mind. I was like, what
the hell? That's an amazing book. Have you guys ever read Invincible?
Yeah, a little bit. We get compared to that a lot as well.
I'm sure you do, but it's very different. But
yeah, it's definitely a different tone.
Big time.
Way different.
I haven't. That's actually one of the large theories about why we're not with Image.
Could be.
Is because they have their own superhero line that they run, and while it's creator owned. As a company, you know, Robert Kirkman does have a part of that company now too, and he writes that, so it would make, I'm not, like, pointing fingers, but it, you know, if
I hate Robert Kirkman, I get it, right?
You know, if no. Well, how about this? If Unlikely Heroes, if Super takes off and Unlikely Heroes is picking up other books, I'm probably not going to look at another superhero title right away because we have one. We have a universe. Not that that's something we're interested in, but I'm just saying, like, I understand where that would come from, and but we have no indication if.
Gotcha. So
Yeah, like we literally know nothing. Like we should clear
Well, you
that.
guys talked about web comics. I mean, despite looking for a publisher to actually publish your awesome book, what are the plans for a web comic?
Well, the web comic is actually, it's not like we're going to break up regular issues into chunks and release it as a web comic or anything. It will be completely new material, but basically what the web comic is all the stuff that just couldn't fit into the regular book. Like one of the many challenges is that like I produce way more material for an issue than could possibly be in an issue, and they're always beating me like, no, cut it down. Trim it off, you know. So this is a lot of that material is that the idea that it's like, oh, well, like for example, in issue five, the Fire Ant, you know, makes a call to everyone and they're all busy. One of the web comics might be, well, this is what they were doing when they said, no, I'm not, you know.
Oh,
And so
gotcha.
it would be supplementary material that you would not need to understand the issue, but if you know, if you read them both, it enriches both experiences, you know, like.
Yeah, and with the long time in between issues, I think people will like to have something, you know, by every other week to continue to get engaged with our series. That was something, especially, you know, issue one, but from issue one to two, and in between every issue, there's this big, okay, I read it, what's next? And it's always like, well, check with us in 4 months or 5 months or, you know. Now we'll be like, okay, well, we'll be able to keep the web comic going, and we know what I know what's going on with the outline. That's set in stone. So if somebody gets like a ton of popularity somehow, if all of a sudden the mime is blowing up online, we can't just say, okay, issue six is the mime, because that's not what happens in issue six. But we could
Yeah, we'll
we.
never be doing the Deadpool trick of like, oh, well, they're really popular, so they're guest starring this month and next month. In fact, it's going to be a
Nice.
6-issue story arc about them. Like, no, that's never going to happen. Like, regardless of how fans react to who, their place in the story is their place
It's
in the story.
but the webcomic might open up some of that, you know, like we'll get to see some of the face, even the main team. I'd like to see more of, you know, I'm excited to see more of like the Lush or Blood Death.
Oh my God, the Lush is his. That's another one. That's just like, oh, like you think that he's gonna transform, and it's like, oh no, he's just drunk. Like it was just great. That was great. That's a great bit right there. Like that was genius, you know. And so you guys are gonna work on those as well?
We're gonna try
That's
and see how it
amazing.
goes.
Well,
Really.
the web comic is also of a simpler, lighter style. Like it's not we're not completely tossing quality out the window, but the absurd detail of the issues is not going to be as heavy. You know, it's going to have a more of a like picture it like the animated series would look.
Gotcha. Oh, that's great. That's a really good idea.
Yeah,
Oh,
it
and
definitely will keep our fellow, you know, artists from killing themselves. You know,
So,
like.
Zach, are you going to draw those or somebody
Yes.
else is going to draw
No,
those?
Zach's gonna draw them.
Wow, that's amazing.
You
Well,
look
I
in the back of the trade, there is actually a sample of what it will look like.
Oh, hold on. I'm opening it up right now. Where?
It's I think it's the right
Oh, I
after issue
see.
five. And it talks about Patreon.
Gotcha.
Which is something we might do, maybe not right away. Like the idea is to start the webcomic next month in September, but we haven't fulfilled all the Kickstarter goals from the last trade. Like people are still waiting for those trades; they haven't gotten in yet. So we're very wary of not asking for something while people are like, well, "No, where's my book yet?" But as soon as those books go out, we're planning on starting a Patreon, which is almost like one like a Kickstarter that could be ongoing. Like if somebody liked the web comic and was like, okay, every time you put a web comic out, we'll give you $1. It would be ongoing. Whereas in Kickstarter, it would just be that one time.
Sure.
And we're opening up ideas for what we might be able to act have like for extra content for the Patreon. And that's kind of what we're working on this summer. We're figuring out the Patreon. We're moving into issue 6, and a lot of fun, crazy stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you guys are doing some great work. I mean, again, got that email like out of the blue. And, I have to tell you, it's sort of like, we're a small podcast, a small website, but we do get review requests. And sometimes there's some weird stuff out there. Let's just put it that way. And sometimes I'll admit that I don't always have the time, because like you guys, I have a job, I have a family, stuff like that. I don't always necessarily open up the links. And, the email came in, I was at the car wash, and I was like, all right, let me open this up and see what it's all about. And I gotta say, I was impressed, and I was like, okay, I have to write a review about this. So I
Awesome.
think you guys are doing whatever you guys are doing, you're doing it right. I just hope you don't kill yourselves doing
Us too. Thank you.
No. So is there, I mean, I've kept you guys for about an hour. Like, is there anything else that you want to talk about, like as we wrap up, or anything coming down the line, or just any pitches you want to make? I mean, any last words on Super?
I would just stay tuned to our Facebook or sign up to our mailing list on our website, which is unlikelyheroestudios.com. In
Gotcha.
that mailing list, which is the beginning of every month, we're trying to reach out and say what's coming up down the line, and keep current with that, because there's like a million different social media things, and what's going on with us is changing a lot. So we're gonna keep good with the mailing list. We're looking at Patreon and the new web comic next month, so keep my
Gotcha.
eyes out for that. The trade hits the website in probably October 1st. We're gunning for October 1st. We didn't get a set date from the printers, but from what we can gather, we should have them for then. So we're
Gotcha.
looking forward to that. We got some really, really, really cool stuff planned for that, the trade's being released. But I think that's when we put it up, we're going to show you like all the different options. Really cool. And stuff that we can do that other comic publishers can't do. So I think it's pretty exciting.
Well, that's great. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm totally psyched about this book, and I was so glad to meet you guys at Comic-Con, and I just appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on, our podcast.
No, thank you so much for opening the email, checking out the series. I'm really, really glad you enjoyed it. And that you wanted to write a review and do an interview, and it's been awesome, man. Thank you so much.
No, trust me, I appreciate your guys' time, and you guys are doing great work, and you deserve all kinds of success, because I really love this book. I can't geek out enough about it. I think it's rare these days that you come across something fresh, and this is kind of, especially when it comes to superheroes, not trashing anything, not saying anything bad, but there's not a lot of like fresh material, and this is familiar enough and fresh enough to really get people like going like, oh wow, this is really cool. So whoever sent me the email, thank them, and thank you for just doing such great work.
No, thank you, man. Yeah, for everything, all the praise and all the compliments, and yeah,
Cool.
feel free to keep doing that.
Well, I will. And well, this has been another episode of Part Time Fanboy, and I've been talking to the creators of the comic Super exclamation point, right? And you guys are at unlikelyheroestudios.com.
Yep.
And just thanks for coming on the show, man. You guys are great.
All right,
No,
thank
no
you.
problem. Thank you, man.
Part-time fanboy.